Hi, this is Gerald Brooks. First, I want to say thank you for taking the time to listen to the podcast. The comments that I'm hearing across the nation and the responses that I'm getting, even from around the world, are just awesome. So thank you so much for listening. I also want to encourage you, if the podcast are helping you in some way, that you'll go out of your way to encourage other people that you know who may have a leadership interest in growing to communicate about them. Let me start today by saying I want to take a few minutes and I want to talk about leading in the unexpected. Leading in the unexpected. Let me put it in perspective. I recently heard a great friend of mine who is a very elite leader being interviewed. His name is Ed Bastian. Ed is the CEO of Delta Airlines. As the CEO, he has a very, very unique seat at a leadership table. As he was being interviewed, I distilled his observations into five principles. And let me say that I have Ed's permission to communicate these because I thought that they were such great insights into leading in the unexpected. So as he was talking, I began to think through how most of us as leaders deal with the unexpected, things that weren't on the schedule, things that were not a part of the agenda, and how all of a sudden we're thrown in the midst of things. And what does it look like? How do you respond to the unexpected? So let me give you principle number one. The unexpected is the nature of crisis. The unexpected is the nature of crisis. What we call crisis wouldn't exist if it was expected. It's something that we weren't necessarily anticipating. It was something that we're not necessarily wanting to happen, but then unexpectedly, it occurs. In Ed's case, it was when an airline that wasn't even his, MH370, disappeared over the Indian Ocean. Never in the history of aeronautics had an airline ever really planned for a plane to just go missing that it wasn't able to be found. This was an anomaly and it began to shake the industry. What do you do if one of your planes just disappears? No evidence, no sign, no location. Just a guess. What do you do? It's unexpected. When Ebola began to break out, how do you run an airline when you're taking people from one continent to another and there is basically a new disease that is contagious and you're having to try to create confidence with passengers that they're safe on your airline? Or what about Zika? What do you do when all of a sudden a mosquito can bite someone in an island in the Caribbean, and all of a sudden that person can take it to a new area, and mosquitoes native to that area begin to bite. All of these are unexpected. Or the day that the bombs went off in Brussels, right near the Delta Airlines front desk. What do you do? One of the things that I learned by watching this amazing leader is he understood and his team understood that the unexpected is the nature of crisis and that leaders have to deal in unexpected events. And even though you can't plan for the unexpected, you can create a system of preparation. And so that first thought, just wrap your arms around it. What do you do for the unexpected? How have you created a template, a game plan? How have you learned to think through the what ifs of life? In your industry, in your ministry, in your areas of oversight, how do you think through the what ifs? The second thought that became evident that day was the speed of crisis. It's not only that the unexpected happens, but the speed at which it happens. It's not like it's sort of worked up to and there's a little bit of a lag time there. when the unexpected happens, it happens in real time. So it's one thing to have problems that are unknown. It's another thing to have problems that are unseen. But it's another thing if your problems are going to be unexpected, but they're going to be shown worldwide on some cable network news as they're beginning to unfold. And they're going to be the centerpiece of conversation. And people are asking for answers, and they're asking for it in 20-minute segments, trying to immediately want to know, are you on top of your game? Have you been prepared? Are you handling every possibility? That every Monday morning quarterback is out there, and they're sitting there saying, hey, this is what should have been thought of. Why wasn't this thought of? How did this look? Why didn't they prep for this? Why didn't? So it's not only that the unexpected happens, but the speed that the unexpected crisis occurs at. And it occurs in real time. How do you handle that? What do you do? Number three, the focus of crisis. The focus of that unexpected crisis happening. If the unexpected's going to happen, and you don't know when, you don't know where, and you don't know what, and you know it's going to happen at a speed, and people are immediately are going to look for answers, but you didn't know it was going to happen, so how do you have these answers sort of prepped and prepared? But then the focus. If I've learned anything from great leaders, they understand the significance of focus. Their ability to be able to keep their eye on the most critical part of what is going on when everything around them seems to be uncertain. So immediately in the Brussels bombing, what was Delta's first response? What were they doing just for their employees? What were they doing for the people that were scheduled to be on their flights? What was the emergency management feature that was immediately going to come into play to make sure that all of the families of workers were immediately knowing, yeah, they're okay. No, they're injured. If they're injured, where they're at? What about the people that have been standing in line that had tickets? Where are they? What's going on? The ability of high-capacity teams to focus, to be able to make sure that they're dealing with the most important questions, is one of those features that I admire. The ability to say, yeah, we can't answer a whole lot of things, but there are a few things we need to answer. Where are our people? Where are the people that our people were helping? How do we get to our people? And how do we get to them and the people that they were trying to help? And how do we handle that? The ability that in the midst of uncertainty and fog, to stay focused. To me, that is one of the greatest leadership skills that anyone can possess. To have emotions trying to overwhelm you, but you stay focused. To have questions inundate you, but you stay focused. To have problems on all levels, but you stay focused. What do we need to do? What do we need to do first? And how do we need to go about it? To stay focused on what is first, on how to do what's first, how to get that under control, and then to say, okay, what's the second thing? And do we have the team to be able to handle maybe three things at once? Taking care of the people, beginning to locate survivors, beginning to man up all of our areas and make sure that we are putting everything in play. But all of that requires focus. The next is the process of crisis. Though the unexpected of crisis occurs, one of the things that's very, very critical is that you have a process, even though you don't know what the unexpected is, even though you don't know the width of the unexpected, the depth of the unexpected, the magnitude of the unexpected, you can have in place a process. These are the people that we're going to call. These are the immediate reaction teams in technology, in relationships, and to have the teams already prepped to know something will happen at some time. And when you get the call, this is where we're going to gather. This is where we're going to get the information. This is how we're going to get you to the appropriate place. And if I've learned anything, these individuals have an amazing sense of focus, but they have an established process. They've already created the teams. They've already created the possibilities of saying, this person will immediately manage this. This person will oversee health and welfare. This one will oversee the maintenance of the prioritary issues that are involved. This person will begin to oversee how do we get our systems back up and running. What is the process? If there's any takeaway from me, I went back and said, do I have the right people financially, spiritually, organizationally, psychologically? Do I have the right people in place that I can call at a moment's notice who have already been prepped to know you're going to be thrown into something that we can't anticipate, but you've been trained for the unexpected? I've also learned that if you're going to pull off the process of crisis, then you're going to have people who are recruited just for the unexpected crisis. What we know is that emotionally, there are people who have to be able to work through a series of emotional responses before they are able to respond in any positive way. But there are those individuals that can go from 0 to 60, and they don't need to somehow work themselves up. They just know how to turn that next gear on. What I found is you have to find people. So in my organization, it tends to be those individuals that are crisis counselors. They're already used to dealing with crisis. Those individuals that are damage control specialists. If infrastructure goes bad, they're the ones that get calls 24/7. If there's economic debris, who are the best economic thinkers that I have around me? And then relationally, who are the people that have the empathy and yet the capacity to handle multiple emotions at one time? What I've learned is this. If you're going to handle the unexpected, there's got to be a place where you understand the nature of it. It's going to be something that no one knew was coming. You're going to have to understand the speed of it. It's going to happen quickly. And the speed of the crisis is going to pretty well determine your speed of response. And then you're going to have to focus when the unexpected happens. You're going to have to be able to prioritize and not get thrown and stay intently focused. You're going to have to think ahead. You're going to have created that moment of intense focus. And then, even though it's unexpected, there has to be that process that you've said, here are the possible areas of unexpected things. Here's the process we're putting together. And then here are the people that we've chosen to be engaged in that. And we've prepped them. Let me take it over into my arena. We have a system. If there were to be an active shooter in the ministry that I oversee, we have contacted everyone who attends our church that's a first responder, who's a police officer, who's in the sheriff's. They all know that there is a code, that there is a clear word, a system of notification. They know that there is an assembly area where they're all to go through. And they know that there will be someone to meet them there to immediately disperse them where we need them to go. Everyone in our facility knows that in the children's departments, there are certain windows that open outward, and that they open outward so that we're not taking kids down a hallway where there could be an active shooter, but that we are putting them in places. They all know where they're to take the kids in our parking lot. They all know what they are to do as parents come out there and are maybe really upset, and yet we've got to make sure that the kids still stay safe and are given to the right people. So the process has to be there. And there has to be people that you trust. Now, that being said, what do I learn? I've learned that you have to have a rapid response team. Not only who are your best thinkers, who are your quickest thinkers. I understand that there has to be a war room. There has to be a control center that everything's operated from. And I understand that there has to be the unfortunate art of playing the what-if scenario. What if this happens? What if this occurs? In the military, they call it red team thinking. The group of people who are designed to create unexpected events to see how organizations will respond. So what I want to say to you is, first of all, Ed is a very dear friend of mine, and he's one of the most awesome leaders I've ever seen. The professional approach that they had to the unexpected was really inspiring to me. And on some level, I felt I needed to take that back to my organization. So maybe these five thoughts and three takeaways will help you. Thank you so much. Again, thank you for those of you who listen. If you would ever share this with friends, it would mean a lot to me. If you've never gone to my website, Gerald Brooks Ministries, it has all the locations where I will be communicating and teaching leadership and all the resources. Thank you so much for all you do. Thank you for your high level of leadership.